Podcast, The Life of a Young Struggling Schizophrenic. I do apologize for all the time that it's been since I've actually recorded an episode. It's been horrible. My voice, I keep losing it, and I sound absolutely awful, and it just, I can't record an episode when it's like that. I just couldn't possibly do it. Life's going pretty good. I am currently jobless, but I'm taking that time to focus on my hobbies and to focus on myself. I've actually just been spending a lot of time in bed, if I'm honest, laying around doing nothing. But I'm not doing negative things. I'm not harming myself or hurting myself or harming or hurting others. I'm actually starting something new, and it's something that I'm going to share with my podcast. Is I am going to be studying djinn alchemy and the summoning of the djinn for personal use. And I guess that'll be a new topic that I talk about on my podcast. But I did get a PDF of djinn alchemy, unlocking their secrets, power, and guidance. And I will be having that read to us.
Djinn alchemy unlocking their secrets for this episode,
not the whole thing, but parts of it.
Djinn alchemy unlocking their secrets, power and guidance. Introduction: the hidden path to djinn connection throughout history. Djinn have been revered as ancient, powerful beings that exist beyond the veil of human perception. They are neither gods nor demons, but their influence spans across civilizations, whispered about in sacred texts, occult grimoires, and esoteric traditions. Unlike spirits that simply linger, djinn are beings of free will, intelligence, and immense power. They can be allies, teachers, and even protectors, but only for those who understand how to cultivate a proper connection. This book is not about owning a djinn for a fleeting wish. Instead, it is a roadmap to true djinn alchemy, the process of forging a deep and lasting relationship with these ancient entities. You will discover daily rituals to strengthen your connection, how to recognize djinn presence and communication, methods to enhance manifestation through their energy, how to avoid common pitfalls that weaken your bond, a powerful exclusive ritual for establishing a profound link with a djinn. Approaching the djinn requires more than casual curiosity. They demand respect, commitment, and a genuine understanding of the forces at play. If you are ready to deepen your connection with them, not just for material gain, but for guidance, power, and transformation, then you hold the right book in your hands. Daily rituals to strengthen the connection. Djinn respond best to consistency and intent. The more effort you put into your connection, the stronger and more responsive the bond becomes. Just as friendships and partnerships in the physical world require effort, so does a relationship with a djinn. Below are morning and night rituals designed to build a strong link over time. Morning ritual: igniting the bond. 1. Candle invocation upon waking. Light a small candle, preferably red, gold, or blue, and focus on its flame as a representation of the djinn's presence. 2. Mantra connection. Speak a simple invocation aloud, such as, "Mighty djinn, unseen force of power, I call upon our bond to strengthen this hour." 3. Incense offering. Burn incense associated with djinn: frankincense, myrrh, sandalwood, or benzoin as an offering. 4. Visualization exercise. Close your eyes and imagine your djinn standing before you. See them not in acknowledgement before disappearing into the unseen.
And this is something that I'm going to be starting on April 8th. So it'll be... my podcast will be aired April 8th, but I'll be waking up and I will be doing I'll be starting this ritual on April 8th, and I will be doing it every morning until I establish a genuine connection with a djinn.
This morning practice sets the intention for continued contact throughout the day, ensuring the djinn's presence lingers in your energy field. Night ritual, deepening the connection. 1, 2, 3, 4. Prepare a sacred space, dim the lights, and sit comfortably. If you have an altar, Place an item that represents your jinn, a gemstone, sigil, or candle before you. 2, 3, 4. Prepare a sacred space, dim the lights, and sit comfortably. If you have an altar, place an item that represents your jinn, a gemstone, sigil, or candle before you. Express gratitude before bed. Acknowledge the jinn's presence by whispering a thank you, whether or not you've noticed clear signs of their activity that day. 3, 4. Prepare a sacred space, dim the lights, and sit comfortably. If you have an altar, place an item that represents your jinn.
It's getting really screwed up on the format of this. Sorry, guys.
Express gratitude before bed. Acknowledge the jinn's presence by whispering a thank you, whether or not you've noticed clear signs of their activity that day. Mirror gaze meditation, optional but powerful if possible. Use a mirror in dim lighting and softly focus on your reflection. Jinn often appear as shadows, flickers, or impressions in peripheral vision. 4. Prepare a sacred space. Dim the lights and sit comfortably. If you have an altar, place an item that represents your jinn, a gemstone, sigil, or candle before you. Express gratitude before bed.
I feel like it's speaking directly to me when it keeps messing up.
Whispering a thank you, whether or not you've noticed clear signs of their activity that day. Mirror gaze meditation, optional but powerful if possible. Use a mirror in dim lighting and softly focus on your reflection. Jinn often appear as shadows, flickers, or impressions in peripheral vision. Final invocation before sleep. Close with Jinn of Power, Jinn of Flame, guide my spirit, whisper my name. This night practice amplifies subconscious connection, allowing the Jinn to communicate through dreams and insights while you sleep. Additional offering.
Now, just as with the morning ritual, I will be doing the night ritual until I get a established contact with a Jinn. And now it's going to tell us about additional offerings that strengthen a bond.
Strengthen the bond. Although Jinn do not require traditional worship, certain offerings reinforce trust and devotion. Incense and oils, frankincense, sandalwood, musk, myrrh, and dragon's blood, metal objects, Jinn resonate with gold, silver, and copper. A small coin left near their altar space is a simple yet effective tribute. Fruits and honey. Sweet offerings like dates, figs, and honey are known to attract Jinn energy. Written words. Jinn appreciate handwritten invocations or personal letters of acknowledgement placed under a candle or sigil, incorporating these offerings occasionally, along with the morning and night rituals, will significantly strengthen your relationship with the Jinn, making their presence more vivid and their influence more pronounced. Affirmations and mantras. Strengthening the Jinn connection. Words hold immense power.
See, I'm going to have to do some research. I'll get into this book, or this PDF, this book, more with you guys later. But I'm going to have to do some research on establishing a connection and starting a relationship with a Jinn. Because as far as I can tell, and as far as I have heard and seen on from that book, it's talking about already having one established that's just strengthening it and reaffirming it. So I'm going to ask ChatGPT. Hello.
Hey there, how's it going?
I'd like to start a connection and start a relationship with a Jinn. What can you tell me about that?
Absolutely. People from Generation Z are generally known for being tech savvy, socially conscious, and valuing authenticity. They grew up with the internet and social media, so they often value open communication and are comfortable with digital interactions. They appreciate inclusivity and often advocate for social and environmental issues. When connecting with someone from Gen Z, being genuine and respectful of their values and perspectives can go a long way.
That's not what I said. I said a Jinn, as in D-J-I-N-N.
Got it. You're talking about a Jinn, like the drink. Jinn is a popular spirit known for its herbal and botanical flavors.
No, I'm not. I'm talking about a spirit that is from the Middle East. It's called a D-J-I-N-N, and I'd like to establish a connection with one.
Ah, I see what you mean now. You're talking about a Jinn, also known as a genie in various cultures, particularly in Middle Eastern folklore. Jinn are supernatural beings mentioned in various ancient texts and traditions. In some spiritual practices, people believe in connecting with these entities for various reasons. However, It's essential to approach such beliefs with respect and understanding of the cultural context. Always prioritize safety and ethical considerations in any spiritual or metaphysical practice.
I understand that, and thank you for reminding me. I would like to know how to establish a personal relationship with a djinn, though. Did you hear me? It's really not working right now. I better type it. Oh, it's because it wants me to pay for the ChatGPT Plus, and I don't know if I feel like putting $20 out for it right now. Yeah, I did have fun with it when I was using it, though, so I might. But for the purposes right now, I did ask Google Gemini earlier, and it wouldn't tell me any names or tell me how to contact them. It kept warding me away from it. I have never worked with now, djinns are not dark entities. They are free-spirited. They are allowed to make their own choice. I have never worked with anything that was not an angel bound to light. So I am not sure. Like, it's going to be interesting. But I kind of want to make sure I set out a distinct, like, reason that I'm contacting them. I do know that I want to seek knowledge. And then I want their wisdom, and I wouldn't mind being lent their strength. So that's going to be the basis of the relationship I build with this djinn. And it'll be interesting to see what I do with it and what kind of knowledge they can give me, because I've always had an interest for the dark arts and the left-hand path. And I've always collected grimoires and collected literature. Even if I didn't, like, fully read it, I just like to collect it and put it away on a shelf. And it'll be interesting to have an entity that I can work with that has free will and can choose from light and dark. Because I totally believe that the darkness can be used for the benefit of the light. I totally 100% positively know it for a fact that dark arts can be performed for the light. You can do a dark spell for the proper reasons and for the goodest of goods. Like, I know it for a fact. I just know that there is karmic weight to that. And there is, for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. And there's consequence. So I have been choosing not to use dark spells and not to do any dark work. Or even any shadow work, really. Because I know that there's consequence to it. And that it'll come back for me. But I also do know that if I become having an open communication with a reliable source of information and, like, extra strength, that sometimes it may be necessary or may become necessary. I'm not going to go around cursing people for their past wrongs to me. There's enough of that in the world as there is without me adding to it. I'm going to start with a new slate, and as things come by, if I need to enter into the left-hand path, I will. Without fear of, like, ruining myself, and without fear of sinning. But anyways, that's just a check-in for me for the recent times. Be sure to download subscribe, like, follow. Check out my website, schizostudios.org. That's schizostudios.org. And feel free to email or iMessage at podcast@schizostudios.org. Thanks for tuning in. And until next time, bye for now.